Yeah, he didn't have any feet. Okay, tonight we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Short chapter, but got a lot of meat in it. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed to them, has revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Excuse me. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Oh, this is good stuff. Back to the first verse. Paul is saying, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with a superior, not excellency, but a superiority of speech. So what he's saying is, my words were not slick, oiled up words to entice you to believe what I'm saying. Does that make sense to you? See, he didn't come as a preacher with a $2,000 suit and diamond rings all over him and trying to impress you with anything. He only brought one thing to you, the Spirit of God and truth. That's all he brought. See, nothing to do with man. I brought you the Spirit of God, he says, and the truth of God, the power of God. Okay? And he said this, I didn't come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the mystery of God. He said, I didn't come proclaiming the mystery with some fancy words. I just come and told you the truth. What's wrong with just the simple, basic truth? See? What's wrong with it? Because it won't tickle your ears. This truth will create something. Something that, and I like to say it this way, I've said it for years. There's one thing that God demands of you, and that's change. The gospel, when you hear the truth of God, not with these little protrusions on the side of our head we call ears, but when we hear by the Spirit of God which is within us, you ain't got no choice no longer. It demands a change. It will either heal you or it will kill you. This truth will offend you and drive you away from God, or else it will heal your heart. See, there's no other way about it. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides. It pierces asunder the soul from the spirit. This is not something that we have a choice about. When a baby comes to being, when that seed is impregnated in that woman's belly, in her womb, that seed has no control over not coming. That seed can't say, I'm going back, can it? Yeah, it's a change. What are you talking about? What word is metamorphosis? The change is a metamorphosis. It is a change, a process of changing. Once that seed is impregnated, that egg is impregnated, rather, by the seed, that egg can't go back and hide no more and just be an egg, can it? Because life was brought into that thing. It's the same thing with you. When you are born again, we ain't talking about saved, what everybody says, soteria, which means delivered. It doesn't have anything to do with being saved, but it's the deliverance. But we're talking about being born again, and only one man tells us how to do it. Jesus never told us we needed to be saved, but we needed to be. Sure there is. But we need to be born again. And you're only born again by one thing. The Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23. We're born again not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. Now, we're not talking about the gospel light that you can go to any corner. Start to say something else. Started to say brothel, and I did say it. But you can go to any corner church, community, little church, and you can hear somebody reading words out of a Bible, can you not? But does that mean it's the Spirit of God? No. It's not the truth of God. When you hear the Spirit of God, something changes. How did Jesus come about? It's by the Word of God that God spoke in Isaiah. He said, a virgin shall conceive, right? Well, you know what we are? We're virgins to God. And when His Spirit comes upon my woman, my soul, He impregnates me with that seed, and I can't do nothing else but be happy about it. It's life in me growing. It's growing me. I have no choice but don't want to change it. Now, when I first started, I had a lot of turmoil. But when I finally got past that baby stage and growed up a little bit, I wouldn't go back for nothing. There's nothing that can make me even desire to go back. See? Oh, this is a wonderful thing. Okay? I hope I didn't lose something there in my thought. I'm getting cranked up. I can't help it. This book is good. But he was proclaiming the mystery of God. Okay? The word determined testimony there is the mystery of God. He was proclaiming to you the mysteries of God. Now, that's all it's about. God does have mysteries. Okay? But do you think the carnal man can understand them? Not intended for them. Here's the biggest concern that the church don't understand. The preachers don't understand. They can call themselves kingdom. They can call themselves anything they want to. But if they don't understand this, it's up to God. It's God's timing. And they think that this book called the Bible was written to all of humanity. Excuse me, it's not. It's written to first fruit. And if you don't believe your first fruit, how's it going to help you? You got to know in your knower. You got to know inside of you that this book was written to Lloyd and to Larry, to Bob. You've got to know that you're first fruit. That's right. It's the first fruit. And if we don't know that, how are we going to believe it's ours? It's like we heard a man speak this week, and he was talking about he don't believe the product's finished. Well, if you're not finished, you've only got two things you can be in this world. You can be either have the mind of Christ, or you can be double-minded. You can have the Christ there along with the natural mind. Now, if I say I'm not complete in Christ, where am I going to draw that inference? Where am I going to draw that from? I got a duality. The book says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Right? So if I still say I'm not complete yet, what am I saying? I'm still double-minded. Then what gives me the authority to make any decision which should be by the Spirit if I'm double-minded? Bingo. See, that's what I'm saying. They don't even listen to what they're saying. If a man says, I'll not be perfected till I get in the next life, then he ain't got no right to say anything in this life. He can judge no one because you only make a judgment righteously. And you can't make it righteously if you're still in confusion and double-mindedness, can you? You're drawing from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You need to get on that tree of life. No, they don't. Well, they don't believe it. That's an absolute truth. See, again, the price has been paid, but the end of the month hasn't come yet. They haven't received it yet, have they? Their time will come. Every man in his own order is what the book says. Okay, verse 2. Because I determined or decided not to know anything. Well, I like that. I decided not to know anything. Is that what it says? Yeah, listen to what he's saying. I determined not to know anything, not among you, but in you or about you. I determined not to know anything about you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, is that knowing anyone after the flesh? Paul says, I decided. I made a choice in my life. I don't want to know about your trash. Don't care about your trash. Everybody's got trash, ain't they? I don't care about your trash. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you done this morning. I want to know about Christ in your life. Isn't that the important thing? It's the only thing. See, everybody's got trash. It's not about this flesh and how good it's been. You can impress the preachers in Passover and Pentecost if you want to with your goodness. But you know what? Good and evil come from the same tree. Don't they? Then I'm only interested in one thing. I want the tree of life. I want Christ. See? I want them green leaves for the healing of the nations. And it says it has a fruit for every nation. Right? For all the nations to be healed. What nations do you think it is? The imaginations of our mind. They can be healed by partaking of this tree of life, this Word of God. That's all it takes. Man, it can set it straight. But don't think you won't be called crazy when in the process. People's told me for years, I've lost my mind. I said, amen, brother. I lost her, and I don't want that stinking thinking back. See? Huh? Yeah, it's okay. Say, yep, you're right, I have. I've lost that natural thing. Lots of people have. But I got the peace they all want. And don't have to prove a thing because I sleep every night. Don't have no turmoil. Verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You think Paul cared about whether you were weak or fearful or in trembling? He said, see, I'm not caring about all your circumstances. I don't care what kind of circumstances you have, Lloyd. Does it make any difference? See, I have to make a choice in my mind just like Paul did. Bob's got to do the same thing. Lois got to do the same thing. Dave's got to do the same thing. I have to make a choice to say, I don't care about what your flesh does. I need to know the Christ in you. And I need to know that Christ was crucified in you. That it is all done in you. See? If you know that, guess what I'll see? I'll see the Christ. I'll see the fruit of the tree of life in your life. See? I want the fruit to show forth. And it's not going to show forth until I know who I am. I can't be running around acting like an orphan and saying, yeah, I got a daddy someplace. Way up yonder in the sky, somewhere. He lives in us. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what's he trying to tell you? There's only one of them. See, there's not three of them. There's one of them. And where does he dwell, Larry? Right in here. So if I have the Son, guess what I got? I got Papa too. See? I know who my daddy is. I'm not an orphan. I know who he is. And he knows me. That's a wonderful thing. It doesn't care about your situation. Jesus hung out with all kinds of people like drunkards and hookers and thieves and robbers and murderers. Did he condemn anybody? Uh-uh. That's right, and they all bailed out. And he said, in my speech and my preaching. Now, this word preaching is a unique word because it's not preaching. That's the English rendering of this word. But it says this in the language, in the Greek language. It says the proclamation of the gospel Well, everybody say, well, that means preaching. Well, then why don't you say what it means instead of adding another word to it? It's proclamation of the gospel, which is the good news. Okay? Why don't you tell me some good news in your gospel? I don't hear nobody preaching good news in the church. All they want to preach about is a devil, hell's fire, damnation, and brimstone, and an antichrist that's going to take over and rule the world. Tell me what's good about that, Bob. That's all it is. It's condemnation and guilt and fear. That's not God. God says, good news. I'm going to proclaim good news. Stacy Wood says something, and I like what he said about it. He said, I serve a happy God who's a justifier of all and a condemner of none. Hello? Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. The book says he came to save the world, to deliver the world. He didn't come to beat people up. And the preachers all tell you he's going to beat your brains out with a ball bat if you make a mistake. I've heard all kinds of things like that. God's not mad at anybody. They need to know their Father, don't they? My God is love, then how could he be angry with me? See, that's carnal thinking. A natural man can get angry with his son because he's not a spiritual man. He's a natural man. But once this mind of Christ takes off in you, there's nothing else left. You can't get angry. You can't do those things. John wrote in the book of 1 John 3 and 8 and 9, I think. He says, those that are born of God cannot sin. Well, hello. If we're born of God, how in the world could I sin? It's impossible. You know why? Because he gave me a transplant. He took that heart out of me, put a new heart in, which was the mind of Christ. And when that mind of Christ is put in you, you can't think with the old one no more, or else you got two of them. Double-minded. If he takes one out and you only got one left, guess what? I can only think from what I've got. That's that mind of Christ. I can't do those things. Could Jesus do those things? Could God do those things? Well, then I can't do them either. It's not because I don't want to. It's not because I look at him and say, boy, I'd like to do that, but I better not because I'll get in trouble. That's not the process. The process is my mind don't even conceive the thought of doing those things. And I'm telling you, this is the mind of Christ. When you have this mind of Christ, you can't even conceive those things. Now, that thing up here between your ears will talk to you, and it'll tell you all kinds of trash. Remember what it said about Jesus in the temptation? When the temptation was over, the devil departed him for a season. That means when he went off and refreshed and he had angels ministering to him, guess what? In a while, that thing up there came right back and started beating at him again. He that endures till the end, you'll be delivered. You got to go through it. Like you said, Larry, go over his hump. There's another one. That's when you speak the good news. When you see that other obstacle, say it's finished. It's finished. Don't you try to intimidate me. Okay? Where are we at now? Oh, we're preaching. We just got to preaching, didn't we? Okay. But it's the proclamation of the good news, of the gospel, was not in enticing or persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, we can look at things and we want to do something. And this is what the church is doing. They're all living in the past. They want to go back and resurrect somebody from the dead like Peter did. They want to open blinded eyes. Hogwash, I'm not interested in it. I want to resurrect you spiritually so your life lives forever. I'm not worried about your flesh. I want your spirit to be alive. And God told me my ministry was this, that I would resurrect people from the dead spiritually. I would open eyes, blinded eyes spiritually, and open deaf ears spiritually. I'm not worried about the flesh. If God wants it, will he get it? I'm not worried about that stuff. I'm supposed to tell you how to have life in you. I want to show you how you can tap into life and you can have what I got and more if you want it. You just got to tap the vein. And I can show you where to get it. I can show you, but you got to do the digging. Freely I give. See, it comes to me and I just give it right on through. I'm just a conduit that it can flow through. I'm nothing. I'm just a piece of dirt on here. But the Spirit in me is what's all it's about. Okay? And look at the verse 5, how it starts out. What's that first word? Here you go. See, he said, I give you that demonstration, not in enticing words, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, in order that your faith, what? Wait a minute. What's that word right there? Should not stand. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. That it not stand. The word shouldn't even be there. That your faith not stand in the wisdom of men or the wisdom of humanity. Okay? My faith should not be in the wisdom of humanity. If it is, what do I have? Humanity? Nothing. We were born in humanity in this world, weren't we? So why do I need the faith of humanity? I don't. He said, but I showed you these things so that you won't stand in the faith of humanity. Okay? But in the power of God. Now, our understanding of power is what the problem is. The church world says, oh, I want to see a miracle. Oh, heal somebody. Raise them from the dead. Why? So they can go pick a gun up and shoot somebody? What good does it do to resurrect somebody in the flesh? None. See? Nothing. Resurrect them in the spirit and you'll never have a problem with them again. See? I want to resurrect people in the spirit. I don't care about that natural stuff. That's all for show. That's all for pride. If God wants it done, he'll do it. Paul never did it, neither did Jesus, unless they were told to do it. They didn't go out and look for healing ministries, have healing crusades. That's all for show. I know God can do what he wants, but if he wants it, he'll do it. He won't have me having no healing crusade. Verse 6. Is that where I'm at? Yeah. How be it? Literally, what is it? But. Not how be it. It's the word but. It's the Greek word de. D-E. 1161 in the Strong's Dictionary. The word but. But we speak wisdom not among but to them that are what? He said, but we speak wisdom to who? Them that are what? Perfect, but it literally means mature or complete. Okay? And people don't believe that it's finished yet. Well, this word right here says perfect, says mature or complete. Isn't complete finished? Isn't completion and finished about the same word? I think they carry the same meaning. But some people don't understand that. But not the wisdom of this what? It's age, aeon. Not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this, what? Age, that come to nothing. The word naught is nothing. All this stuff, these rulers and all these rules and regulations the church world is putting on you, you know what they're going to amount to? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It can't help you. You can go, you can have your name on every book, on every church in 5 states from here, all the way around you, on every church, on every roll. And you know what? When the roll's called, you won't be there. It has nothing to do with it. It's your relationship with God. It's your relationship with the Father. It has nothing to do with all these rules and regulations and rulers and preachers and things of the world. It's all what God is doing. And if you go back and look at the pattern of this book from the very beginning, the multitudes never carried the truth. Even Israel as a nation was a very small nation compared to the rest of the world, weren't they? Never has it been released yet to the multitudes. It's still in the first fruit. And the first fruit has not been picked yet completely. It's not been harvested yet. It's got to come to maturity and completeness. And that's who he's talking to, the ones that are perfect and complete. Now, we were sons from the very beginning, but we have to be mature sons. We have to grow up. That's part of our process. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Do you understand that? He said, I'm speaking it out, but it's still a mystery. Now, can you tell me how it's still a mystery? Why? Because the natural man does not receive anything from the Spirit of God. We're speaking the truth. That was a hard thing for me to understand for years. Why? I could say something. I said, I'm talking English. Why can't you understand me? It's not about whether I'm speaking English or Greek or Hebrew or Russian. It's I'm speaking a language of the kingdom, which is spiritual. And if you speak the language of the kingdom, nobody understands it except somebody in that kingdom. Right? If they have no spiritual ears or eyes, they don't hear what I'm saying. I'm talking English and they look at you like you're crazy. For years it took me a struggle to get through that, to figure out what's wrong. And it wasn't anything wrong. It was perfectly normal. It was perfectly natural for people who were not of the kingdom not to understand. My understanding was the problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? My understanding, thinking they should hear me because I was talking to them in English, that they should understand what I'm saying. But I was speaking spiritual truth in English. And they couldn't understand spiritual truth. See, it was my problem. And that's the perception that most people have. They get upset with you because you don't understand what they're saying. Well, it's my problem, not yours. If I can't articulate it to you to where you can understand it, and if it's something spiritual you're not supposed to understand anyway, why should I be upset with you? I shouldn't, but yet in immaturity, we can be that way. And we have to grow up, get beyond that. It's a wonderful thing when you get on beyond it. Okay. Even the hidden wisdom, which God did what? It says ordained in King James language, but he predetermined, his hidden wisdom, which God predetermined, determined before the age to our glory. Now, he predetermined this stuff would be hidden, but that it would be revealed to us. Okay? It was predetermined. Had nothing to do with you or me. It's what God chose. It's a sovereign choice of God. Now, is it divine choice? It's nothing to do with us, is it? He did it. Not what we do. It's what he chose before the age began. Ephesians says we were chosen in him before or at the conception of the world. Okay? So it wasn't anything to do with what we did. We hadn't even been conceived yet, have we? It's just God chose this by his own wisdom. Which none of the princes or rulers of this age knew, because had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, if they hadn't crucified him, would everything come to pass? He had to be crucified before he could be resurrected. And once he's resurrected, the cat's out of the bag, baby. You can't put it back in no more. It's out and it's on its way. Which none of the princes... Oh, so we got that nine. Here's the kicker. But as it is written, eye has not seen, and no ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things, or what, it should be what, God has prepared for the ones that agape him. Hello. Didn't say phileo, phileos. Didn't say I like him. It says love him. And like and love are not the same thing, are they, Larry? Love in an unconditional state, no strings attached. Now, you tell me how somebody can love you, agape, or agapeo, can love you, and they don't have the Spirit of God resurrected in them yet. You can't expect that person to love you, can you? Circumstances will bring it out. See, you can't. And God said, I'm speaking to the ones that love him. Who are we talking about? First fruit. It's first fruit. See, the only one that has the capacity to love him is first fruit. Mature first fruit. See, that's the only ones that have the capacity to love him. You can't love him. Babies don't love, really. They're just comfortable around you. They don't know what love is yet, do they? Until we come mature, we don't understand love, do we? It's just comfortable around them. Just become comfortable with each other. So it says, but it, as is written, eye has not seen, and no ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for the ones that agape Him, the first fruit. But this next verse. Now, I heard it one time. I had a discussion with a pastor I was with, and he wanted to sing that song. Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And there's a big song written about this. And they prepared this song, and they was getting ready, and I said, time out. He looked at me real funny and said, what did you say? I said, that ain't true. Read the next verse. And they picked up the song sheet and started reading. I said, no, you missed it. Read the book. You made a song incomplete. When this was written in Isaiah, and that's where it was copied from, when it was written in Isaiah, no eye had seen and no ear had heard. But read the 10th verse. Look what it says. And it says, but. Huh? But contrariwise is what it literally says. But on the contrary, God has revealed to us, the word them shouldn't even be there, okay? But God has revealed to us through His Spirit, not by His Spirit, but through His Spirit, because the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Okay? But God has revealed to us those things of the Spirit, what He has prepared for us. He has. Does that mean we understand it in our intellect? But God has revealed it where? In our spirit. So our spirit can say, all right, in my understanding, I still don't understand it. But my spirit knows that I have a relationship with my Father. Huh? And there's the mystery. How can I be so happy and not understand it yet? Well, it's a mystery. And it's only, this word mysterion is the Greek word for mystery. And it means, if I can spit it out, it's a mystery revealed to someone to keep it a mystery. It's a mystery revealed. Look up that, it's in the Greek word. Let's go look it up for a minute. We'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah.
No, you have to experience it. See, it's still a mystery because you can't really tell what it is because no one can understand it until they've experienced it. See, so it remains a mystery, that mysterion. Okay? Where did we see that word mystery? Oh, back up to the 7th verse. Yeah, look it up there. It's mysterion. Okay? Look at verse 11. Because what man knows the things of a man except the spirit man which is in him? Not the spirit of man. That changes the whole context. That word of is an added word. It's the spirit man which is in him. Now tell me what spirit man's inside of you. What's the spirit man inside of you? What is it? It's God. It's Christ. It's God in you, isn't it? So these words, they add these little words in here and don't tell you about it. If you don't go look and see, that word of isn't there. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit man which is in him? That makes sense, don't it? The Spirit of God in you knows everything about you, doesn't it? Everything about you. But when it says the spirit of man, well, we're talking some trash now. It's saying like there's two spirits. Well, there ain't two spirits. There's only one spirit on the earth, the Spirit of God. And its carnality is everything else. But there's only one spirit, and that's God. Even, it says, the spirit man which is in him, and in this way, the things of God knows no man except the Spirit of God. So he tells you there again, doesn't he? Nobody knows it but the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit in you, which is the Spirit of God. He says it. See? That's why no one knows it but the Spirit of God, because it's the Spirit that's in you. That's why you don't have to prove yourself, because Daddy knows all about you. Remember that old show used to be on TV, Father Knows Best? Yeah, He does. He does. Always has and always will. Absolutely, in that circle. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world or the cosmos. This word world is not aeon like it was in the earlier verses. Now we're talking about a word cosmos. Okay? But the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh, this is one beautiful bite. Let's get a hold of this thing. Oh, I want you to hear it. Listen to what it says. Now we have received. Tell me what tense that is. Now is present, but past. Now is present, and we have received. Right now, we have already received. Correct? We have already received not the spirit of this world. The word world here is cosmos, which is the orderly arrangement in the mind of humanity. Okay? I've not received the mind of humanity, but I've received what? The spirit that is from God. What spirit might that be? The Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, Christ Himself. Right? The anointing. Okay. Now, then it says that. It should be in order that. The word hina. In order that, we cross out the word might. Cross out the word might, because see, that's a deception, a King James deception. Saying might, that means maybe you can, maybe you can't. I'm not playing a maybe game. This is a sure bet what I'm playing on, and that is God means what He says. And He didn't throw a maybe at me. He said, I did this in order that we know the things that are freely given to us by God. Freely given to us by God. That's why. Because we received the Spirit of God. Oh, jeez. Huh?
Don't have,
don't have to prove a thing to nobody. He's my daddy, and if you don't like it, go take it up with him. I ain't going to fight you. You take it up with my daddy because he'll take care of you. He can take care of everybody, can't he?
See?
Oh, yeah. You can come here and get mad at God all you want. Because God ain't mad at nobody. People are mad at God. You know that? All kinds of people are mad at God. And you know God can handle it? He's not took up, He's not took back by any of it. You come to Him spitting and cussing and He'll love you right on in. Well, right. They're mad at man's conception of God, but what they've told him that God is.
Yeah.
That's where they're mad at him. Because it don't fit right.
Yeah.
It's not what it's not love that they've been told God is. Okay? Yes, we've been lied to. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but in the Holy Spirit. But in what? No, the word which. But in the Holy Spirit's teaching. That's what it should say. But in the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but in the Holy Spirit's teaching. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, I'm not comparing apples to oranges. If I'm going to compare something, I'm going to go spiritual to spiritual, not flesh. Go ahead.
And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truth with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit.
There it is. See, that's simple. The King James language, that's the Amplified. That's the Amplified version of it. Sometimes the Amplified's right on and it really lays it, and sometimes it's off, and you got to search through all of them. See? You got to use that discernment that God has given you to know what it's saying. Okay? And you can compare it with language.
But right then, I was...
It's right on the money.
Yeah.
It's right on the money. That time it was right on the money. I'll say it again in the understanding that the Spirit gave me, which is just what the Amplified says, basically. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but in the Holy Spirit's teaching, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. That's what it should say. But the natural man, okay, the natural man, which man is that? The word there is sensual, soulish. The soulish man does what? Embraces not the things of the Spirit of God. See, it shouldn't say receives, because it should say embrace. The soulish man embraces not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are what? They're absurd to him. And cannot possibly know them, because they are spiritually determined. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Let me read it again. But the soulish man embraces not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are absurd to him, and cannot possibly know them, because they are spiritually discerned or determined. Okay? They're absurd to him. You know how many people that tells us we're absurd? Well, you're crazy. There's a hell out there to be shunned. And there's a devil out there you got to be afraid of. Excuse me. Doesn't this book say, I have given to you power over all the power of the enemy, and you shall tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing by any means shall hurt you? Well, then tell me why I'm bold in what I'm saying. Because I believe what this book says. Many years ago, I heard a man say that. And when he said it, those pages, the words jumped off a page. A man, Norman Parrish, from out of South America. And he said, God has given you power over all the power of the enemy. And when he said that, that come alive in my spirit. And I said, oh my God, I ain't afraid of nothing. I ain't got to be afraid of nothing. And it came alive in me. And I believed it. And you know what? And I become absurd to people, because I have a boldness that people don't understand. If I had a nickel for every time someone told me that I intimidated them by just talking, I mean, I'm not trying to force anything, just sitting down and talking and saying something that contradicts what they say. They are so intimidated by the truth. I can't help that. You know, Jesus intimidated people all the time. He didn't have to get mean with them. He just told them truth, and he intimidated them. Bob, how many times have you seen in the last few weeks people get up and walk away from us and we never say a word to them? I can walk in a restaurant where Bob's sitting and sit down with him, and people just start scattering. I just come in and say hi, and they scatter like a covey of quail. I don't have to say anything to them, do I? Because they know there's something different about me. It's what people used to say. One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. Let me finish this. One more verse in between. Let me get one more verse. We're almost done. We're just about ready. Okay. Verse 15. But he that is what? The word doesn't say that. You know what it says? He that is not carnal.
Are you the
14th? 15th. But he that, it says, King James says, he that is spiritual, but the book says he that is not carnal. Well, if he's not carnal, what is he? But the word doesn't say sukitos or whatever, pneumas or whatever the words are. It doesn't say those words about spiritual. It says non-carnal or not carnal. He that is not carnal judges what? Well, what's this thing they're running around saying, you ain't supposed to judge nobody? Get the whole context of that thing. He said, judge not, lest you be judged. How many people heard that thrown at you? Well, you better read the rest of the verses. And you better read on in Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 when he says, know you not that we shall judge angels and even the world? Hello? See, you got to get the whole context of the picture, and they're taking one little excerpt out of context, shutting everything else off. It's called eisegetically teaching. They're isolating one little scripture and saying this says this. And if you exegetically teach it and draw everything around it in and get the full picture, you'll find out the context changes. And that's one of the greatest things God showed me in understanding this Bible, and it's why I teach the way I teach. I don't jump all over the Bible like I've got hot feet burning me and I got to jump from this one to that one to that one to keep you confused. I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I want to show you the pattern that God showed me. It worked in my life, and I'm hoping it'll work in yours. If it works for me, why shouldn't it work for you? See, I want you to see the same pattern I see, okay? But the spirit, the non-carnal man judges all things, yet he, cross out the word himself. Okay, but he that is non-carnal judges all things, yet he is judged by no man. See, the only one judges me is my Father. You know what the book says in John chapter 5? The Father judges no man, but all judgment is given unto the Son. Hello? Well, I heard Jesus give a judgment. Well, see, judgment is not a punishment like everybody thinks it is. Everybody thinks judgment's a negative thing. It can be positive or negative. Look at the language. It says positive or negative it can have. Jesus judged the whole world, did he not? When he went to the cross, he said, the prince of this world is judged. He judged this world. And you know what he said on the cross? Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. See, there's the judgment that Jesus put upon this earth. He forgave them all. There's the judgment. They can't understand it. Okay? So what's my judgment? What's my judgment to the world? Innocent, not guilty. There you go. Verse 16. Because who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who has the mind of the Lord that they may instruct him? You ain't know anybody that's instructed God yet? I don't know of any. There's some that think they are. They run around saying, I am God. You know, those kind of people think they can instruct God and are trying to instruct God's people is what they're trying to do. And it shouldn't be there. Okay, but look at this last part of the verse. But we what? The word have, let me give you a better rendering of that word. We possess the mind of Christ. That means it's in my possession. Didn't Paul say we have the mind of Christ? We possess the mind of Christ. This is not something that's going to happen someday after I die and fly. Hear me? It's now because we have it now. That's the whole problem. Okay.
This is concerning verse 14, and I have a note here, and I have it underlined, heavily yelled out, why the ordinary person doesn't understand the Bible.
Absolutely.
And I also have one down here that Susanna wrote in this Bible, mm-hmm. and it's 16, and she wrote, remember this forever.
Mm-hmm. See, because we have it.
Yeah.
But see, we forgot something in the process.
That is amazing. Right back where we started.
It's in the book. It's the circle.
That goes back, what, 25, 20 years?
This book, I mean, I love, Paul has been my hero. Yeah, I know, I want to talk with Jesus, see, but I know when I'm talking to Paul, you know who I'm talking to? Christ. I want to talk to this man. This man did more for the church world. I'm not talking about the sacrifice. I'm not belittling what Jesus did. But Jesus was not in a position yet to give this truth because the sacrifice had not been made yet. And that's why he said, I have meat to eat that you don't know about yet. But Paul came along and gives us this meat. See, Paul said, but he has revealed it to us by his Spirit, through his Spirit. He's revealed it to us. Now, guess what? All things are lawful to me. Why? Because he said so. All things are lawful, but not everything's profitable to me, is it? There's what we have to understand. I can't do something that offends my brother.
Okay?
He's not of the Spirit. If my brother is a spiritual brother, would he get offended? Would he, Bob? No. See? That's why we can sit down with some people and we can say anything we got to say, and we don't have to agree, and we can still be friends. But there's so many people in this world, especially church world, if you don't agree with them, you're my enemy. That's what they say. You're my enemy. That's why there's 30,000 denominations worldwide. Okay? Anybody got any questions or...